On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Coming to you from our studios in beautiful Bytown, Canada, this podcast is a member of the Tall Can Audio Network. Find more at tallcanaudio.com or search for us on iTunes. Now, let's crack open another one. This is Audio Whiplash. Ooh, how do you like me now?
Audio Whiplash number 62. Ooh, ooh. Rob over there.
Hey, hey.
There, I was waiting.
Yeah, I see that. You didn't want to trample.
Oh, it's a foamer.
Well, here I am. Yeah, you didn't want to trample over my can. Oh.
Trample.
That's a bitch.
How's it going, man?
Top notch, man. Couldn't be better, really.
So,
what about you? I never ask. Eh? I just answer and never ask.
A pretty direct indication of your level of interest.
And you know what? And I'm trying to see past that. It's not working.
Okay. Try harder.
You know what? Yeah, there's self-awareness, but part of self-awareness, I think, is being aware of others and how you interact with them. Not well.
No.
It's pretty consistent with my childhood report card.
I was just going to say, does not play well with others.
Doesn't care about others.
Constantly pushing them into the sand.
Right. We came up with a conversation the other day, and they're like, oh, it's like whipping down somebody's pants. And they're like, oh, you're that guy? I'm like, if I had a dollar for every time I whip somebody's shorts down or whatever, I'd have at least $20.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Yes.
We wouldn't have been friends in school.
No, bro.
And the number of times in adulthood that you've ripped my pants
down. Friends now.
Just across the table, foes.
And this is it. I'm just here to help you, really.
Oh.
See, this is rehab. This is outreach. This is a bunch of things.
Okay. Why don't we start, because this is about now over a week old. I badly.
Right about now.
The Funk Soul Brother.
Funk Soul Brother, yeah.
I wanted to talk, and we just didn't really have, you know, a schedule that synced up here over the last couple of days. The story's
now, I got shit to do, and
a week or two old, about the White House shutting out some of what they have deemed to be the more undesirable news outlets in their country, essentially ones that are calling them on their bullshit.
Yeah, don't do that. Nobody likes to have shit pointed out when they're wrong.
Hey, don't make me look stupid.
I'm doing it on my own.
Yeah.
I don't need your help.
And I the part of it that I find so fascinating is that, because it's your CNNs, it's your New York Times, it's your Washington Post.
LA Times too, I think.
Yeah. Well, because if anything screams left wing, it's the LA Times. Yeah, but
that's true.
If you are one of these outlets, let's say you're CNN, and they go, no, you're not coming in because you say stuff about us that we don't like. And a week later, less than a week later, he's having his joint session address, and he's going to speak to the nation. He's going to speak to Congress. And CNN's right there broadcasting it live. If you are calling him on being a liar and...
Well, that's why the Associated Press boycotted that Friday.
A few outlets did.
Right. Who were allowed in but said, no, we're not going to do it.
Yeah, this isn't the way this should be done, right?
Right. Well, I think the press has to look past that. If you're suggesting that they should at that point go, yeah, you didn't let us in that time, so forget it. We're gonna thumb our nose at you.
Normally, I would absolutely agree with that because you have a responsibility to
And that's it. I think you have to look past that and report.
However, my point would be on this. If you're accusing him of being a liar and he's locked you out for being a liar, why are you voluntarily then becoming a vehicle for his lies? It's not so much that we disagree.
No, but I think if you can witness, if you have a better firsthand account of his lies, that makes you a more credible source.
Except they went on the air afterwards and said, hey, this was more presidential, and there was a lot of people praising that speech. And if you look at it in an isolated way, it was a better speech. It was more presidential. He came off less fucking
blowhardish.
Yeah, lunatic.
Not that we don't like that.
Right. Hello. At Captain Blowhard on Twitter, if you want to follow him there. You can't look at it in an isolated fucking. And CNN is on there verbally filleting him afterwards for doing a good job with this speech.
Well, and I think the idea is you have to, if you want to be a legitimate news source, and by news I mean news,
mm-hmm.
right? You have to call it as you see it. You can't hold a grudge and look at everything that happens from now on through the lens of you being locked out. You have to report things as they happen. And if you're – and clearly I'd be against being locked out.
Yep.
And you rail against the guy and you do what you need to do in that light. But I think moving forward, you have to go, yeah, he was a fuckhead back there. I hate that. And you're an idiot, and that makes you very unpresidential, and that makes you probably the worst person in the history
at what point
of
are
the
you
office.
Simply an enabler? At some point, it's irresponsible to allow someone on your airwaves to lie.
So essentially what you're saying is you feel like they have changed their behavior.
Yes.
Okay, well then, you know what? If that's the case going forward,
they have
failed as a free press.
And that's
press.
More what I'm saying. Is
right. And
you have allowed
I think it's early to say that.
He's, yeah, maybe. But they're also very, very responsible for him being in office. If they had said from the beginning, like they should have, this is a joke candidate with no basis running and been more of, but he was good for ratings.
Do you put CNN in the same category as the BBC?
No.
Okay, see, so already...
Not close.
This is it, right? So to me, yeah, I look to them as sort of a second-rate news agency anyways.
Yep. No, and that's fair. But I feel like at this point, the White House slapped them on the wrist and said, hey, do this the way we want. And they kind of went, yeah, okay. Instead of going, eh, fuck, no, our job is to...
Yeah, I think, and we'll see, and I agree with you. To some extent,
yeah,
right. But I think moving forward, you need access, and I'm not saying you need to fillet or you need to get in line. I think you need to, as a free press.
There was enough other outlets that were going to run that speech, and you could have commented on it afterwards. You do not have to provide him an avenue to lie to you.
I think you need to be present for it.
You need to be present. You don't need to.
It's not like
it.
Me and you. Well, I don't need to. I don't care. I don't need to be there. But I think you need. Press needs to be there, and ultimately, you as a customer, as a consumer of news, right? Then you need to vote with whatever you pay attention to. You go, you know what? Yeah, CNN, you're not giving me the goods. Ottawa Sun versus Ottawa Citizen, whatever. Yep. Everybody has their leanings.
Yep.
Right. You choose to get your news sources from where you see fit.
And this has been one of those things that we've debated since. Episode 2 of this podcast is the responsibility of the news and the fact that a real news broadcast doesn't have a lean. That's one of the things I respect about the Washington Post is they're owned by a billionaire who's just said, yeah, go do the fucking news. There is no lean. They used to torch the Obama administration when it was called for.
Right.
And now they're doing the same thing that and they were one of the ones locked out.
That's crazy.
Yeah, go report the story with no agenda.
This is it.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's what I'm talking about. You need to get your – because it's come to a point now where you need to get your news from a variety of places because
– Yeah, you have to.
Because most are leaning in one direction or the other. There are very few –
And I think that's the point you're making with the BBC is as the BBC World Service doesn't really have a – a horse in the race in the American political system, right? I'm sure if you dug deep enough, you could find
and I'm sure there's somebody out there listening going, are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
Of course they have blank, right? And I get it. You know, there are very few.
A little
right?
closer to home, what are your thoughts on the CBC? Because it's a government run, do you feel like they – like there's a lot of people that I respect a lot that said the best way to get any kind of facts, Americans, right, during 9/11, during – the Iraq War and these sorts of things, they were turning to the CBC because it was more objective. But the thing to keep in mind always is that it's run by either a right or a left-wing government up here, depending on who's in power.
And you know what? I know you want to morph from this into
– A little bit, yeah. But as a general
– And I'm interested in moving that away. Here in Canada, right-wing versus left-wing – Man, the gap is much more narrow than it is in the States, right? So in terms of us having a right-wing leaning government versus a left, it's narrow, right? We're working in a very narrow alley as opposed to the Americans are very polar.
But we've talked enough times on, hey, did you see The National last night, right? Like that's a well-regarded news broadcast in Canada on the CBC. Do you feel like it has significantly changed between the Trudeau government and the Harper government?
No, I don't.
I don't either. And I think, again, if you really wanted to, someone would be able to show you evidence that said at this time they did this and at this time.
Of course.
But I feel like while the rest of the world is looking at the CBC as not quite on the level of the BBC, but certainly a more objective place to view things, it is worth keeping in mind that it's funded by a government that does switch kind of sides of the aisle from time to time. And it would be hard to think there's not pressures there.
And you see that happen in the huge bureaucracy that is the government, right? People at the top, when the government changes, even those who are civil servants, there's change.
For sure.
Right? Or you have to toe the line of new ministers as things come in. Right? A conservative government to a liberal government looks very different.
For sure.
Right? And so the mandates that come down into the civil service has to change. Right? So there is subtle differences.
So just before we move fully into Canada, because we did both just watch the same piece here on CNN, funny enough, do you feel like this is going to become a regular thing that they're going to ban outlets that they're not happy with? Or was this early on a shot across the bow that telling them to get in line? Because that's a very dangerous.
All right. And you know what? It comes back to Meryl Streep's Golden Globe speech.
Yep.
Right. When she finished it with, we need the press. And people rolled their eyes. Right. And even if you agreed slightly with her or greatly with what she was saying. You rolled your eyes like, okay, yes, press, but we need a free press. You need a free press. And then you look at not just, 2 months afterwards, you have a president who is banning. And I'm sure somebody could give us cites sometimes in U.S. history, which is long, right, 250 years, where you've had somebody do this. I'm just saying, to me, you are in a situation right now, though, where this was a fear. And then, honestly, within 2 months of him taking office, it's happening.
Well, this is a very dictatorial action.
Right.
Like, if you can control the press, you control everything. You control information, right? And so if this was the start of a regular thing or a one-off, either way, that's what this was an attempt to say, if you want access, you're going to tell a better story.
Or right. At least and when it came down a week and a half ago or a week or whenever it came down in the past.
Yeah.
You said to me, you sent and said, hey, we need to talk about this.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, and I looked at it and went, yeah. But you know what? I think my response to you was, I am not the least bit surprised. To me, this
no,
is like.
No, that's right. You did. So are you surprised? Right?
Yeah. Like to me, that's not a.
But this to me is, it's alarming. As a lot of things that he has done have been. But
you've
this
elected
one,
him.
Yeah, sure. But that's a huge thing. Once you start to. Openly and
how
and freely.
How my dictate.
Okay, we always fail trying to have any kind of highbrow conversation.
That's not what people are listening.
That's
people,
right.
People want to be. They
be
want
a dick joke.
They want edutainment. That's what they want.
That's
here.
Right.
Right.
No, it's true. It's true. And it just that is something that you the best example for me is always the North Korean media. Now we're skirting a long way to the other extreme, right?
For sure.
But. the North Korean media is controlled solely by their government. And when Kim Jong-il died, they openly, on their news broadcast, showed a picture of the mountains in their country crying, shedding tears for the... And if that's where you get your information from, then you go, wow, this was a great... And they tell the story of how the evil West and all these sorts of things. We are not there.
No. But you are in a spot where you have somebody who is only saying, I only want you to report what's good.
Yep.
Right? And the idea...
And I'm not doing a lot good.
And the idea of a free press is one who's going to report what they see. And that is what shapes people's opinions over their dinner meals and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And gives a country an idea of where things are going. Right. And so, doubling back to Meryl Streep, we can all roll our eyes, but really it couldn't have been more of a foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And you go, wow, look at that. There we are.
So we both just watched the same piece, Frank. I had it on here in the studio before you arrived, GPS on CNN with, I believe, if I'm probably not going to pronounce this correctly. His name is Farid. Taking two shots at it. Missed it both times. Farid Zakawa. And it's an interesting show, full of guests and panels, whatever. Most of you are into this sort of thing will have already have heard of it and whatever. And they spent... probably a 7-minute segment speaking to a former Canadian diplomat, now contributes to Maclean's, has published a bunch of different things. And they're comparing on a few different fronts Canada and the United States, and specifically speaking about the American dream. And that, of course, alluding to apparently this is a term coined in 1931, but it's carried on for a long time. And this idea that in America, you can turn yourself into whatever you want to be. You can pull yourself up by the bootstraps and make a better life. And it was supposed to be this call to potential immigrants, which is amusing now when you look at the idea that apparently the last thing America wants is more immigrants. But this idea that you can slide in and build your own life in America, and whether or not that has now shifted north of the border. And there was a number of statistics about education, about the free market, about even levels of freedom. Home ownership was one.
Life expectancy.
That all now seem to favor Canada over the United States. Now, we have to be careful here because we have certainly since the election, and this was also covered on the show, looked down our nose quite a bit at the United States. And frankly, you've given us plenty of ammo to do that. But there are some numbers here that state that maybe in this sense, I don't know if they're trying to paint it as a better place to live, but simply outline that maybe the American dream is
dead. First of all, Farid Zakaria.
That was close.
Kudos to you, CNN, for having an East Indian fellow running a show where most Americans can go to, and they're probably looking at it going, yeah, I'm not. But who's really taking their factual news from...
When did I get Al Jazeera on my package?
This is exactly right. From an East Indian guy. I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah. And every week, I can't say I watch it every week, but anytime I've turned it on, there's always a really high level of conversation, right? They seem to
be open to several. What you were saying was in each one of those, and it started out with those three base categories.
Home ownership.
Post-secondary education.
Yeah.
Home ownership. Life expectancy,
yeah.
Canada outranks the Americans, the United States, in all three categories.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and then the gist of the show is, and as they get down to it, and what you talk about is, and to me the most interesting thing was, you are 50% more likely in your lifetime, from your parents to you, to change your life, to move up the ladder, right, to better yourself.
In Canada. So whatever financial bracket you were born into, you're twice as likely to be able to change that.
To move up.
For better or worse, I guess.
Exactly. And it comes down to, and they talk about it, the two pillars of that, equal education across the board, right?
And I didn't realize this on the American side, because I know there's a few points here. I want to stay on this one for a second. That in the United States, your public schools, because they talked a lot about university and Zakaria.
Well, Zakaria
kept, right?
Was
he Zakaria pulled it back to primary school.
That he kept bringing it back to your elementary school days. And
yeah.
Now for by that I just mean public school, so between K to 12.
Right. And that being a much more level playing field in Canada, I didn't realize that in the United States, your level of school was paid for directly based on the
local taxes
in that area. So if you live in an extremely poor neighborhood, there's far less taxes coming in, far poorer education is being doled out.
Right.
Whereas
and that's
here,
why
the system
is. You hear Americans, whether we're watching movies or sitcoms or whatever it is, and they're talking about moving to a better school district.
Yeah.
They're talking about moving to an area with better education, better taxes, better
good schools,
higher incomes, where even if I'm low income, I'm moving and I'm working in another area, but I'm paying. Whereas I know, hey, you're paying, Matt's paying more taxes than I am, or he's got a better job. And so I'm fighting tooth and nail to stay in this neighborhood so my kids can have a better education.
School. Yeah. And that's nuts. Right? Like, and it explains why nothing ever changes. The locals in that area get a poor education,
never get out of that.
Right.
It's a cycle. And so here, to a much, much lesser extent, right, we have in the last 10 years in Ontario, you know, implemented standardized testing where they test you at grade 3, grade 6, grade 9 or 10, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then they compare those stats across the province. And it's easy to see there's certain areas of the province that don't get – that score continually lower.
Yes.
But for the most part, you are getting essentially – excuse me – essentially the same level of education across the board.
Well, it
is a standard. You're getting that standard test.
Well, and to me and I think you said it at the time that it was – I'd already seen it once and that's what we rewound it. Fuck. Forget this guy's name. I rewound it and we watched it as you arrived because I thought it would be interesting to throw into this show. That number to me was far more interesting than anything they had to say on post-secondary, right? Is because there are those people who will forget what level of post-secondary, they'll just choose not to do any kind of post-secondary education, no college, no university, and
right.
go get a laborer's job or whatever, but the level of education that you've accumulated up until then is still radically different.
Subpar in some areas.
Yeah. So this is something literally everyone gets is that initial education. What you get there is often going to be more important than what you get in post-secondary because that's the basis for where we all kind of start from, right?
Right. What kind of playing field are you on?
Right.
And if you're the kid whose parents and really they're above and beyond that, there is the prep schools and there's all that sort of other stuff, right? Where so to
me. Yeah, just to finalize on that, like on that end of it. So the people here in Canada understand if you live in a shit neighborhood, your kid's going to go to a shit school with shit teachers and continue to perpetuate a shit neighborhood. Whereas here, it's far less a factor.
Even in your shit neighborhood, you are getting essentially the same level of education as
anywhere
else.
Teachers are paid Ontario-wide kind of thing. Yeah. It's a standard, you know. Whereas, so it's the same
thing. Some teachers don't want to work with your shitty kid in your shitty neighborhood, but they are delivering essentially the same level of education across the province.
So after watching this
– Okay, but the other pillar beyond education is healthcare, right? And I think there's no doubt in the States, people with a lot of money are getting better health care than Canadians.
You do see Canadians that who have money will go to the U.S. to undergo a certain
So that's
procedure.
Happening.
Yep.
But everybody below that top 10-15% in the States is getting better health care here.
Yes.
Across the board.
Yep.
Right? And not becoming bankrupt to do it.
And they're talking about – and that was something on the education front as well, the cost of post-secondary. We don't
bankrupting,
have to
people bankrupting
just
themselves
to try and get out
to be healthy and to
be
educated.
And so as we talk about the healthcare thing, they're talking about it. It's across the board. And this guy was very open. And you could tell he was trying very hard not to be – too glowing.
Well, he's very Canadian.
Yeah, well, there's something to that, right? And says, it has its problems. It's far from perfect, right?
It is far from perfect.
But when you look across the board and he starts citing all kinds of infant mortality and life expectancy
and infant mortality.
The two big ones, it's not even close.
It's not even close.
And you talk 3 years, I think, was the average on life expectancy. They didn't give a percentage on the infant mortality. But when you talk about three years, the costs was half.
For that, yeah.
He said it was half in Canada.
No, you're saying the infant mortality was. It wasn't the costs. Or the cost spent per capita was half.
Yes. Yep. Costs spent per capita on health care was half in Canada, which blows your mind when you think of the level of taxes that you pay and shit up here for that. But that means you're getting regular checkups and you're getting these things get nipped earlier, right?
Are.
Yeah, okay. But that's the idea, right, is we stop you from becoming a tire fire that we then have to pay out the ass to fix. We nip these things in the bud kind of as you go because you're less terrified to go in and walk out with a $10,000 bill, right? You see, it's a crazy thing that I assume isn't the same case in the United States based on how it's built. You go into a walk-in clinic here or an emergency room, see people with mild coughs or a little cut on the thumb. Could you get the fuck out of here? If this wasn't free, you would not be here, right? Yeah. So it has its other issues, but that's kind of how it goes, right?
And besides that, I don't care what's wrong with you. I don't care if a horse kicked you in the face. Get the fuck out of my way.
Right.
I want to be seen with my minor cough right now.
Yeah. I got to get that new Valtrex prescription.
Well,
and
you know what? As this portion of the conversation wanes, it was interesting to say that you are six times more likely to be incarcerated as an American than you are as a Canadian.
And that wasn't just a Canadian thing. He had stats from Europe on that, had stats from – that's one of the things Americans don't seem to understand is how much more likely you are to end up in jail.
And then they said, and you now, ladies and gentlemen, have a new attorney general in the States who feels like there aren't enough Americans in prison. So not only are you six times more likely, they want to increase
that
number.
They're going to have to just pick a state that no one gives a shit about, like Wyoming or something, and just fence it off, and it's going to be a prison. They're going to run out of room.
Well, you know what? How far away from that being a reality? You scoff right now, and you go, Idaho.
Yeah. What is there, 78 people living in Idaho?
You and the Dakotas. Sorry about whatever else is in between Montana and whatever else you got there, but whatever.
Get out.
Yeah.
Wild, man.
Honestly, scoff at it. I think there's nobody in Nebraska either. One of those flyover states nobody cares about. Whatever. Wham.
I think Nebraska has already been deemed nuclear whipping boy should they ever need to calibrate their weapons
Exactly. We're going to drop something there and the people are already all buggered up, so it doesn't matter. Whatever.
A little political talk on Audio Whiplash. We'll catch you on the next one.
See ya.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.